Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, disruptors all over the world. Welcome. This is Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of thinking, your automatic way of doing. Today's show is episode 121, and it's called Straight Talk. That's right. We're bringing it straight. Straight Talk today. You can catch all 120 episodes of Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and on iTunes. You are listening again to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick.
Hi.
Author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity, awaken everyone, so that everybody gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. And one of my favorite things I do, or get to do, is I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in the Dudes of Disruption men's group, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. Today's episode, again, it's 121. It's called Straight Talk. What would be possible in your professional life and in your personal life if you were straight with other people? Imagine the results that could be produced if people were direct and honest, or if you were direct and honest in a responsible and respectful way. What we're talking about in this episode is the role that feedback plays, giving and receiving feedback, the role it has in strengthening your relationship all over again in your personal and professional life, and producing new results. We have in studio here Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. Let me show him on Facebook here live. You got it? Okay. That's Sam. Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. Sam, welcome to the show. Love having you. So, Sam, we start every show with a quote to help set a context. So let's do that. I'm going to go with Bruce Lee today, actually. Bruce Lee, right? He's a classic. He's a classic disruptor, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I think he's a total classic disruptor. Ever since I was a child, I have had this instinctive urge for expansion and growth. To me, says Bruce Lee, the function and duty of a quality human being is the sincere and honest development of one's potential. Ever since I was a child, I've had this instinctive urge for expansion and growth. To me, the function and duty of a quality human being is the sincere and honest development of one's potential. That's Bruce Lee. So, Sam, I'm going to put you on the hot seat immediately. How does that quote, how does that sentiment have a relationship to this thing called feedback, giving and receiving feedback? Oh. Should we start over?
No, keep going.
Oh, okay. Keep going?
Keep going.
Oh, okay. So I want to share. A story of a senior level executive that I work with, and its relationship to feedback. Okay, and what he said to me, you know, he said to a crowd. And I was watching and listening to him, and he said, you know, he said it's one of the kindest things you could do. If, for example, if I'm standing here right now and my fly is open. Now, this is a senior VP of a major organization. And he says, if my fly is open, I want you to be straight with me and tell me that my fly is open. If I was a woman and I was standing here before you and I had lipstick on my teeth, because that could happen sometimes, right, when you're getting ready, I would want you to tell me that. Because what most folks do most often is that they won't tell you. And they'll make up a story called, well, I'm too uncomfortable, or I'm not good with confrontation, or, you know, this person's been doing well, or they might take it the wrong way, or it might become a bigger deal. And what I say to all of that is disrupt. Disrupt the automatic, which is thinking about yourself and how to protect yourself, and rather be in contribution to both the other human or group of humans and yourself for that matter. So as the senior executive said to a group, if my fly is open, tell me. That would be kind. In fact, that would be respectful. If I have lipstick on my teeth, if I'm a woman, you must tell me. You must get over this story that you've created called, well, I'm too uncomfortable, I don't like confrontation, I might rub you the wrong way, it might become a bigger deal, you've been doing so well lately, I don't want to discourage you. Disrupt, that's all a bunch of BS. So I want to share with you the impact that feedback can have, okay? I'm 22 years old. And I just graduated college. I came out of college pretty cocky. I went to NYU. I was president of my fraternity. I did quite well there, and as a career fraternity member, if you will. I had all the job interviews that I wanted. I land this gig with a Fortune 100 company, and I start in sales. And I'm thinking, well, this is easy because I was president of fraternity, and I did a whole bunch of stuff around enrolling people all the time. This is going to be easy, and. After 6 months, I was at 34% of quota. Now, for those of you who are not in sales, that would be bad. In the world of sales, if you're doing well, you're at and or exceeding 100% of your quota, whatever that quota may be. I was 34% of quota after 6 months, and I was in a bad place. I was really questioning myself. I was really discouraged. I was really considering a job change, obviously. And luckily for me, I had a change, but it wasn't myself. My boss was terminated, and I got a new boss. And my new manager said to me, and his name is Stu, and I saw Stu recently, and I always appreciate him after all these many, many years. Stu said to me, he said, you're not working hard, you're distracted, you're not focused, you're not doing the necessary or taking on the necessary behaviors that a professional salesperson needs to take on in order to be successful. And you're wicked talented. That's what my New England folks in the Global Tribe of Disruption. You're wicked talented. You have this huge network from NYU. You were president of your fraternity. I'm giving it to you straight, because that's what we're doing today. It's episode 121 is straight talk. And he gave me the straight talk. And he said, I'll make you a deal. He goes, I will spend a day with you out in the field. Those are the days. This is how old I am. I'm showing my age now, Sam. These are the days where you actually went knocking on doors to cold call. And he said, I'm going to spend a day in the field with you. Every week, I'm going to spend at least an hour in the office doing one-on-one coaching and development type of session and conversation. Anytime we're in a meeting or interacting with each other, I'm going to give you feedback. If we're going to the cafeteria to get coffee or walking back from the cafeteria, I'm going to give you feedback. Because the only thing I need from you is your commitment for the next 6 months. And for the next 6 months, he spent a day in the field with me, and we had a 1 hour development coaching session, and he gave me feedback, walking, from the parking lot to a meeting or back to the car from the meeting. And the feedback was a combination of what some people might call positive feedback and reinforcement feedback. And some of it was very disruptive and constructive. And he kept his word that he gave me the straight talk for 6 months. Guess what? At the end of 6 months, I ended up at 103% of quota. I won the President's Club, went on a free trip to Hawaii, my only time in Hawaii, by the way, and it was on somebody else's dime, which makes it even sweeter. My point is, because someone was willing to tell me that my fly was open, metaphorically speaking, like that senior executive was saying, someone was willing to look me in the eye and give me the straight talk and say, dude, you are distracted, you are not focused, you are not taking on and doing the behaviors that a successful sales professional should be taking on. And oh, by the way, you're also awesome. You have this great network. I've seen you interact with people. People like you. You have a high level of relatability with people. He gave me the straight talk. And I give Stu credit. And I saw Stu recently at a fundraiser that the Digital Disruption Men's Group was having this past spring when we were raising money for our Haiti service trip. And I told him, I always tell this story any chance I get because I pay homage to anyone who's willing to give me and or any other human or group of humans the straight talk. Because I think it's one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody, which is giving them feedback. Now, what is feedback? Sounds really like a simple word. Feedback. I mean, really, Nick, we're going to spend the next, 30 minutes on this podcast talking about feedback? Yes. Because I'm going to share some research of how people don't give each other feedback and how we don't give each other the straight talk. So for me, feedback is sharing an experience or sharing the results that someone has created, right? So if I have somebody who reports to me, for example, or my partner at home or one of my kids, feedback is sharing an experience that they have created or a result that they've created. Therefore, what I'm sharing is an observation or an experience or even the facts of that experience. So if that's the case, if I'm really sharing an observation and an experience of what I just observed, really feedback ultimately then becomes information. Feedback is neither good or bad. In fact, that's one of the disruptions of this episode. The disruptive sentiment here is that feedback is neither good or bad. It's neither positive or negative. It's not right or wrong. Rather, it's information based on facts or someone's experience that they observe that they want to share with you to move you forward or to disrupt a behavior that no longer serves you or no longer serves other people. Now, the reason why I emphasize that feedback is information and it's not good or bad, right or wrong, or positive or negative is because I think that when we go to a place called, well, this is positive feedback, and this is negative feedback, or we've now gotten cute and say constructive feedback, we go to a judgmental place. We're actually operating from a very judgmental place. Not in a bad way, obviously. Right? When I say I'm going to give you some positive feedback, there's some judgment on my part. If I'm going to give you some constructive feedback, there's some judgment on my part, right? If I'm going to take it as positive or negative, there's judgment on the receiving end as well. And what I would rather people share, and this is just a perspective that I'm sharing, is I have an experience that I want to share with you that I believe will serve you and may serve the people that you interact with and or do business with and or live with and who you interact with and relate to. So to me, the disruptive thought here is to start to relate to feedback as information. Now, you might want to pay attention to that information if you keep getting the same information over and over and over again, right? You might want to start paying attention to that feedback regardless of what the feedback is. If someone keeps coming back to you with the same sentiment, you can either then... And here's your good news, right? When you relate to feedback like it's information, then there's no judgment, there's no attachment to it, there's no ick or excitement, there's no high or there's no low, it's just information. You can either keep it, right, and do something about it and disrupt whatever behavior sharing or initiating, right? You can keep it or you can disrupt it. That's your good news. Right? Because it's just information. It's just an experience that somebody's sharing. And again, I think that when we take the judgment out of it and relate to it as just information, it gives us more space to explore what this other person just shared with you. When you take the positive and negative, right or wrong, this was good, this is bad. When you take all of it and eliminate all of that out of the way, then people can hear it differently. They can actually, in fact, hear your kindness in your feedback. So if you can relate to information, again, I want to make this point one more time, then you take the judgment out. And when we're in a positive or negative place, or when we relate to feedback that way, we tend to place judgment on it. And when we're judgmental of ourselves or others, it's harder for us to hear the information or the experience or the result that was produced. Now, I referenced a few minutes ago feedback as a gift. Feedback is one of the greatest gifts that you can give someone. Just think of the examples I just shared about my first boss, or my second boss for that matter, I guess, my manager Stu, and the impact that it had in my career. Because he was willing to give me the straight talk, which is the name of our episode today, because he was willing to give me the straight talk, it made the world of difference. By the way, this is an important fact that I forgot to share in that example. My very first boss in the first 6 months never gave me feedback, not once. That is not an embellishment or an exaggeration. In fact, he only spent time with me one time in the first 6 months because, and I mentioned I was in outside sales, because there was a camera sale going on in a particular town that I was visiting. And that was the only reason why he spent any time with me. Now, I know some of you are thinking out there in the global tribe of disruptors, poor Coach Nick. My point is, my first manager gave me no feedback. I was 34% of quota. My second manager gave me feedback, gave me the straight talk literally every week and any chance he had on any given day, and I ended up at 103% of quota. I give Stu, that second manager, a tremendous amount of credit for my success because he was willing to give me the straight talk. And I want to keep encouraging the global tribe of disruptors out there. You want to be disruptive in the world? Give people direct, honest feedback in a responsible, respectful way. Stop shying away from it. Stop making up a story called, I'm not good at it. I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. I don't like confrontation. They're doing so well. You know, I don't want to discourage them. Get over yourself. Disrupt that. Listen, not giving people feedback is absolutely, unequivocally stingy and irresponsible. It is stingy and irresponsible not to give people the straight talk. It's as if you're actually holding them small. You know, one of the things you want to ask yourself is, why am I not giving someone in my family or someone at work or a client of mine, why am I not giving them the straight talk? Is it because I'm comfortable with that person being where they are? Is it because I'm comfortable with that person operating the way they are? It makes me feel any better. Now, I'm not saying all this because I think that you're a bad person. I don't. What I am inviting you to do is to notice, because here in the Due to Disruption podcast, we always talk about the importance of noticing. Notice why you're not giving people the straight talk. And by the way, it is not because you are non-confrontational or you don't like giving people bad news. That's a made-up story that, again, I'm going to continue to encourage you to disrupt. What I want you to really get and ask yourself is, why am I not being straight? Is it because I'm wanting to be right about that person or about that group? Is it because I'm looking to dominate that person or that group? That is not a healthy relationship. Disrupt that. Be honest and direct. Give the feedback. Cause a shift in the relationship and create something new. Now, let me give you an example of why I say, for those of you who think I might be a bit provocative today, about when you're not giving feedback, that it's stingy and irresponsible. I'm going to share with you a study called the Silence Kill Study, which you could find on the internet, and it was conducted by the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, AACN. I feel like it should have like a beep beep at the end of it. So the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, AACN, commissioned an organization called Vital Smarts, which is an organization who actually is known for their best-selling book and program called Crucial Conversations. Wink, wink, you might want to check out that book. If you're somebody who wants to be different in the world, who wants to be different in producing different results in the world. Oh, did I mention that, Global Tribe of Disruptors? The more direct and honest you are with people, the more you're willing to give people feedback, you will produce different results at home and at work. So let me go back to this AACN commissioned research that Vital Smarts conducted for the AACN. They surveyed 1,700 people, both clinicians and non-clinicians, doctors, nurses, administrators. And what they found was that there are seven sort of, they call it the silence kill study because what they found was there are seven factors that can kill, literally, can cause death or severe harm in a healthcare environment, which is why this nursing association asked this organization, Vital Smarts, to conduct this research. And what they found was the seven areas that can cause harm or death are include broken rules, number one, mistakes, number two, lack of support, number three, incompetence, number four, number five is poor teamwork. Disrespect is number six. Number seven is micromanagement. So broken rules, mistakes, lack of support, incompetence, poor teamwork, disrespect, and micromanagement are things that have that can and have caused harm and death in a healthcare environment. And the reason why it's called the Silence Kill Study is because what this research found amongst the 1,700 people is that 84% of that population never say anything about those seven areas. Folks, are you kidding me? It is time to disrupt the automatic. 84% out of those 1,700 people never said anything related to their colleagues or a superior breaking rules, making mistakes, lack of support, showing incompetence, being a poor team player and collaborator, being disrespectful, micromanaging and making people nervous. Can you imagine that there are seven areas that this study identified that are happening? And by the way, this is in healthcare. You can think of this in any industry, from technology to financial services, et cetera. The same kinds of things are happening, and 84% of the people are not saying anything. In fact, what the study also found was that in many cases, people were observing these seven deadly behaviors, i.e. broken rules, mistakes, disrespect, for over a year and didn't say anything. That's an epidemic, since we're on the subject of healthcare. That would be an epidemic, which is we must disrupt the automatic, which is staying silent. Staying silent is stingy and irresponsible. Staying silent at work when you see incompetence or disrespect is irresponsible and stingy. Staying silent at home when you see poor behavior or behavior that is detrimental to others or to the community is irresponsible and stingy. Staying silent in your community, around politics for that matter, is irresponsible and stingy. If you see something, as the MTA says in New York, say something. I love that. If you see something, say something. And get over yourself. And I'm going to keep saying it. For those of you out there who, well, Coach Nick, I'm not really good at giving feedback. Great. Go read Crucial Conversations or call me for coaching at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. I'm happy to help you. Here's the question for the global tribe of disruptors out there. What would be possible in your professional lives with your clients, with your colleagues, with team members who report to you? What would be possible in your personal life, family, friends, in your community, if you were straight with other people? And oh, by the way, what would be possible if you made it easy and safe for people to be safe with you, or to be straight with you, I should say? Just think about the person in your life who was straight with you, much like I described Stu, and the difference that it made in your life. Go and pay that forward. Think about the person who was willing to tell you metaphorically that your fly is open or that you had lipstick on your teeth, and the difference that it made professionally and personally. Now go pay that forward and do the same for somebody else. Now, let me share a couple of ways that I believe giving feedback or effective ways to give feedback, right? And there's lots of great books out there, by the way. One of the books that I highly recommend is Crucial Conversations by Vital Smarts. I also recommend an easy book for those of you who like large letters and lots of diagrams. It's only 100 pages. Is The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. It was one of the first business books I read. In 1 minute or less, you can give somebody feedback, literally. And if you read the book, the 100 pages with the diagrams and the large letters, you will see that you can give people feedback in 1 minute or less. So one of the ways to actually be effective and masterful at giving feedback is to actually do it all the time. Just do it all the time. Meaning, if you do it all the time, then it becomes a natural part of your relationship. It becomes, well, this is how Coach Nick rolls. This is who he be. Like, he's a guy who will give you feedback. He will share with you the experience he just had or the experience that he just observed. Without the attachment and the judgment, and it's positive or it's negative, right? So do it all the time so that actually it just becomes a way of life. This is just how we interact. This is what our relationship is all about. We give each other feedback, okay? You know, versus, you know, people have it like, I got to go get a permit from the New York City Hall office. I got to hire a band. I got to practice for 4 weeks. And it becomes this big production. And by the time you give the person feedback, which, oh, by the way, you never will, if you happen to, 4 weeks later, you've lost the moment, because it's important to give people feedback real time when something actually happens so they can actually be connected to the experience. So take the drama out of, and take your ego out of giving feedback, and just give feedback all the time. What I would also say is that you want to give feedback, you want to balance feedback. If you want to be effective at giving feedback, you want to balance feedback between positive and constructive feedback. If we have to use the term positive and constructive just to, you know, kind of level set here, that's fine. Meaning that relationships are like bank accounts. So that if you, in order to pay your bills or to pay for expenses or to go on vacation or to go to see U2 in concert, which I just did recently, I highly recommend you go see U2. Unbelievable band after 35 years. In order to go do things like that, you need to have money in the account. Relationships are the same way. When you give somebody positive feedback, it's like making a deposit in the account. When you give somebody constructive feedback or feedback that might be a little sensitive or someone may not want to hear, it's like taking money out of the account. For those of you who have employees or have partners at home or kids who react poorly to your feedback or who don't listen to your feedback, that's a cue for maybe the account is empty and your check is bouncing, metaphorically speaking. You want to put deposits in the account so that way the person feels safe. See, if you come to me all the time and give me feedback when I do something that you want me to continue doing, which you might call positive feedback because you're reinforcing that, or you come to me in the same day, later on in the day, and you give me constructive feedback about something, and you continue to do that day after day after day, week after week, then it feels safe when you give me feedback, because I'll relate to you as someone who likes to give feedback and who is genuinely interested and vested in my future. So relationships are like bank accounts. Make sure you're doing both. The balance between positive and constructive. There's a principle out there called the Losada principle. L-O-S-A-D-A. The Losada principle, which is the 3-to-1 ratio. For every one constructive feedback or piece of feedback that you give somebody 3 acknowledgments. Now, not everybody's 3-to-1. Some people may be 1-to-1. Some people may be 2-to-1. Some maybe be 5-to-1. Don't get caught up in the ratio. What I would rather you get caught up in is the balance between positive and constructive feedback. The last thing I'll say about how to deliver feedback effectively for people to hear it is to make it safe for people. And one of the ways to make it safe for people is not to be attached to your share. Is not to be right about what you're sharing. Again, if you can relate to feedback like information, then you're not attached to it. Hey, it's information. I'm passing it along to you. Oh, by the way, you might want to pay attention to that information if I keep sharing it over and over again, right? So if you're not attached, or if you're willing to loosen the grip on your attachment, then someone will feel safe. If you're not making up a story about someone, especially a disempowering story, somebody will feel safe with you. So those are some of the ways that you can create a space for the other person to hear you give feedback. And if you want more information, just email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Now, before we go to parting shots, I want to remind everyone that you can check out the Due to Disruption on social media throughout the week, throughout the month. You can catch Due to Disruption on all forms of social media, on Facebook, Due to Disruption, on Twitter, it's DOD Talk Radio. You can find Due to Disruption on Instagram. You can email me at coachnick@coachnick.com if you're interested in individual and executive coaching. If you want to learn more about the Due to Disruption men's group here in New York City, which is a group of powerful men making a difference in the world, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. And you can find the Due to Disruption podcast, all episodes, on Podomatic and on iTunes. So my parting shot is pretty simple. If you want to actually, and I save the best for last, if you want to really, really, really be effective at giving feedback, then be even better at seeking out feedback. If you want to be someone who can deliver feedback in a meaningful way that moves the person or a team forward, then make darn sure you are open to receiving feedback. In fact, I would encourage the disruptors in the global tribe to be assertive and to be aggressive in seeking out other people's feedback and other people's experience of you. Be better at getting feedback before you give feedback. See, when you're hungry and masterful at receiving feedback, then that gives you the keys and the access to know what the experience is like around feedback. It gives you the keys to know how to deliver feedback to others in a safe and meaningful way for them to hear it. And that's because you know what works and what doesn't work inside of the experience of delivering feedback. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. This is the Dudes of Disruption show, podcast, Dudes of Disruption. You can find on iTunes and on Podomatic. Email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. And we have ended every single podcast, 121 now, with a Dr. Seuss quote, because he is a Hall of Fame disruptor. Don't cry because the dudes are over. Smile because the dudes just happened.